We had a good saying that we've held firm to this day, as the dean was reminding me before the talk, which is what happens at Georgetown Prep stays at Georgetown Prep. That's been a good thing for all of us, I think.
So I was anticipating reporting this week about how the confirmation vote went. And then, of course, Kavanaugh getting on the Supreme Court, and the rest is history. And, of course, this just becomes a fascist paradise for the next 30 years. But something happened on the way to Fascistville. Somebody stood up and said, hey, that fascist, before you put him on the Supreme Court, I would just like to tell you that he's a little bit rapey. I'm not saying he spent his entire life committing rapes, but he does have a rape on his record. And the entire GOP, most of the men, if not all of the men, white men, they said, rape? Rape is A-okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fire You Can't Put Out, episode number 266. Clearly, I am on fire today, and I am on fire because I'm watching women just get crapped upon by all of these white conservative Christian men. So as you've all heard by this point, Christine Blasey Ford, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, she used to live on the East Coast where Kavanaugh lives. And she, when she was 15, there was an attempted rape at a party where Kavanaugh was mad drunk. All the boys were mad drunk. And after she goes to college and everything, she moves to California. She just keeps this to herself. She doesn't tell a lot of people. She maybe tells her husband. She tells her therapist. We all tell our therapist. But for the most part, she keeps it to herself. Then, after Kavanaugh becomes a circuit court judge, she realizes there's a possibility he might get to the Supreme Court back in April of this year. So before Kennedy even retired, she goes to her senator, her female senator, Dianne Feinstein, and says, Kavanaugh tried to rape me when I was 15 years old. He did not succeed. So how did that go? So they're having a party at somebody's house. By the way, get the kids out of the room. You don't want the kids to hear this. Get the kids out of the room. Okay, I will wait. Obviously, you have a pause button, so the wait is over. And he drags her into a room. Well, not like drags her down the hallway, but pushes her into a room when he's just wasted. He's 17. Pushes her onto the bed. Lays on top of her and begins gyrating and grinding. She has a bathing suit on under her clothes, and then she's got the clothes over the top. I'm sorry, I'm triggering somebody right now. I just know I am, and I'm sorry. She fights. She gets up. She runs to the bathroom. Waits for the coast to clear. Maybe while Kavanaugh goes to try to rape somebody else. And then she runs home. She doesn't tell anybody. She knows what happens when you tell. Nobody's going to believe you. You're the problem, ladies. If you decide to tell, then you become the problem. And this is what I'm absolutely pissed about today. So this guy is being elevated to the highest court in the land. And she says, you know what? There's something that you should know about him before you elevate him to that court. He tried to rape me when I was 15. The way she should have been received was, oh my God, let's reopen his background investigation, investigate this, bring the doctor and the judge into a hearing, and then decide if we really want Kavanaugh the rapist to be a Supreme Court judge. Obviously, for the GOP, their answer is still yes. Yes, they still want Rapey Brett to be a judge. But that's not what they did. They immediately began destroying her. On right-wing circles, right-wing radio, Fox News, you're a woman and some dude attempted to rape you, how dare you come forward and tell everybody about it?
Okay, so I have a question, folks. How are decent people ever prepared to deal with these kinds of never-ending allegations, destruction, perversion? I mean, we're dealing with a genuine sickness here with people on the left. They're not right. Something about them is just not right. And I was sitting here, this never ends, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And decent people are blindsided by this stuff every time it happens. And the reason for that, decent people do not wallow in this kind of mire.
When we on the left found out that Judge Roy Moore was a potential pedophile, we didn't like that. And we said something. And we turned out in larger numbers. When we found out that Donald Trump was accused of about from about 19 different women, rape, all kinds of sexual liberties and indecencies, and my God, I don't even know what to call them all, because they're not all just assaults. Sometimes it's just him being gross, like walking up to women and grab in the club and grabbing their vagina. And by the way, that's what he told us he does, and we said that's not right. But there's a sickness. There's a clear sickness on the left. So this is Limbaugh. This is the way he opens his show on Monday. And I must have spent about at least 6 hours this week listening to Limbaugh's show. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to make you listen to all 6 hours, but I'm going to make you listen to some of what this puke decided to say this week.
Because the left doesn't stop in their efforts to destroy people with whom they just disagree. Judge Kavanaugh hasn't done anything to anybody other than his job, other than render rulings as a judge from various courts on which he has sat. He hasn't done anything to anybody. He's a decent person. It's obvious he's a decent person. He may define what a decent person is. He may be the epitome of decency.
He is so decent. Everybody on the right is decent. Kavanaugh is decent. And Kavanaugh clearly did nothing wrong. How do we know, without a hearing about it, without an investigation, how do we know that Kavanaugh did nothing wrong? Because he's a conservative judge. He's going to be the fifth vote on the court. What else do we need to know? An investigation? When will the left stop with their damn investigations? If somebody on the right says that they didn't do it, then that should be enough for us. So we've got a little bit of a fly in the ointment here for the conservatives, and they're not exactly sure how to handle it. But they're pretty damn sure Kavanaugh did nothing wrong. This is just the left making stuff up. And this woman that came forward, she's a little bit confused. Oh, and you know what? It's not just the doctor's fault. It's also the senator's fault. The senator, Senator Dianne Feinstein, yeah, the other woman.
But now an accusation of 36-year-old misconduct dating back to high school has been brought forward at the last minute in an irregular manner. It is an accusation which Judge Kavanaugh has completely and unequivocally denied. This is what he said. This is a completely false allegation. I've never done anything like what the accuser describes to her or to anyone. It is an accusation which the ranking member of the Committee of Jurisdiction has known about for at least 6 weeks. Known about for 6 weeks. Yet chose to keep secret until the 11th hour.
We heard this about Roy Moore and Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly. The excuse is they have denied it and denied it like a lot, like denied it to the hill, like so much denial. So therefore, it's not true. And how dare you bring this forth at the 11th hour? The 11th hour, had this woman brought it up right away, she likely would not have been believed in her family. She likely would not have been believed at her school. She likely would not have been believed in her community. And she almost certainly would not have been believed by Brett Kavanaugh's parents. She would have been shamed. She would have been shut down. The consequences wouldn't be what they are now. Because what has happened to her now? Immediately once her name was leaked, and this is why she wanted this out there, but she didn't want her name in the press because she knew as soon as she got her name in the press, because of how important Kavanaugh, another white male, another rapey white male, because of how important he is to the conservatives, to the conservative movement, to this lifetime appointment on the court, because of how important she knew the Nazis were coming. She knew she was going to be destroyed. She knew she was going to have to go into hiding. Limbaugh goes on to say she took all her social media down this weekend because she doesn't want us to know that she's a left-wing hack and she's just making it up. The reason she took down all of her social media posts is because she knew the Nazis were coming. They were going to hammer her social media. How dare you stop us from putting our rapey, white-hooded judge on the court? How dare you? And now she's been doxxed online. All of her personal information has been leaked. She has had to move out of her home. She has had to go into hiding. She has had to get security. Brett Kavanaugh, the one accused of attempted rape, he walks around free, even still. He walks around just being slathered with love from the conservatives. Just tongue baths from every effing one of them. And she, the one who had somebody attempt rape on her, is getting death threats. She's now gone into hiding. She has to have security. What kind of planet do we live on? No, this doesn't happen everywhere. Excuse me. What kind of country do we live in?
Do you think that this in any way is going to derail his nomination?
No, he's a straight shooting, honest guy. I think when people listen to him, they'll know that he's all right.
And do you think that any of these claims are legitimate?
No, I don't. I think this woman, or whoever she is mixed up.
I believe Anita Hill. I believed her now. I believe her now, and I believed her then. And I believe Christine Blasey Ford. I believe her. Melvin, how could you? She is the accuser. He is the accused. Where is his justice? Where is his justice? Here's what I have learned about rape, molestation, indecent liberties, all these things. The people that get abused. When I was young, I was very young, single digits, preschool, earlier than preschool. Yeah, I was pretty young, but I remember it. I told my mom right away, and she did not believe me. The man, and I've talked to the therapist about this, so I'm fairly good with it now. I used to never be able to talk about this. The man who molested me even put hickeys on my neck, as I'm a child, like 2 or 3 years old, very young. And I told my mom, and I said, look at this. What is this? And she dismissed it out of hand. It wasn't until several years later that someone came knocking, and oh yeah, all of a sudden she's in a tizzy. She's in an outrage. But I got effed up right away by the whole thing. And it took me decades. It was only a couple of years ago. I turned 40 next month. It was only a couple years ago that I was finally able to tell somebody. The damage is still there. I'm still hurt by it and all the rest. You know, all hearing all these conservative men say, it happened 32, it doesn't matter. Mine was much longer than that. And it still affects me to this day. And when this type of thing happens to women, it doesn't just go away. 10, 20, 30, 50 years, we carry this with us through our lives. We carry it to our graves. And only once we are dead and the memories in our minds go with us, does the pain finally go away. It never, ever leaves us. This happens to women, and it happens to women a lot, disproportionately more than it happens to men. And women, when they tell, they are instantly not believed. Men, including a lot of conservative men, like to say that women just make this stuff up. I'm sure there are cases where women made this stuff up. I'm not aware of any of those cases. I'm sure it happens. But my automatic response is to believe the woman when she says it, or the man. But like I said, it disproportionately happens more to women. So when the woman says that it happened to her, I believe her, no matter who she is, no matter political expediency or anything stupid like that, I believe her. Because even if she's lying, the overwhelming odds are that she is not. But in the 1 in 99 chance or 2 in 99 chance that she might be lying, fine. I will admit, okay, I was wrong that time. But I know I'm going to be right 97, 98, 99% of the time if I believe the woman. And in this case, I believe the woman. But of course, anytime politics comes into anything, the truth is the first thing to die. So we heard what they're saying on right-wing radio. They're just annihilating this woman. How dare she? So what's happening over on left-wing radio? There's not a lot of good left-wing radio. Sorry, I'm going to say that, and that's why I do the podcast, because I don't particularly care for too much that's happening on left-wing radio. But there is one show in particular that I do enjoy, and that is the Tom Hartman program. And a woman who heard the story of the Kavanaugh thing called in to Tom this week, and she can't even help it. She has to share the story. She has to say why she believes. And this is the kind of thing where conservatives would not let this woman on. So she goes to Tom, and she tells her story.
Jennifer in Oak Creek, Colorado. Hey, Jennifer, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I just want to give you some history here. I went to school the same exact time as Brett Kavanaugh. I went to a private all-girls Catholic high school. The private all-girl boys Catholic high school was biased. I was attacked by a group of boys. And I only got away because I'm a fighter. And I've never told anybody. And I just finally told my husband last night. And you know what? It sucks. Pardon me. But This woman, you know, this is why we don't come forward. And back then, you would never come forward. Even if you were raped, you wouldn't come forward. You just wouldn't, because people wouldn't believe you. And it would always be blamed on the girl. Oh, well, she had a drink of beer. Oh, well, it's because of what she wore. I mean, anything to put it off and the blame off of the boy. And these boys that did this to me were boys that I went to the Catholic grammar school with and grew up with.
Yeah.
And it actually started back then. They used to have this National Goose Month where we had to wear shorts always underneath our uniform skirts because they would fling our skirts up and try to goose our butts.
Really?
So,
this
yeah,
was a
so
thing in Catholic school?
Yes. So, and I didn't start until fifth grade. I was in public schools until then.
Uh-huh.
And then this never happened in public schools.
Yeah.
So,
the greatest nations are defined by how they treat their weakest inhabitants. That's the old saying. I would like to revise it and say the greatest nations should be defined by how they treat their women. because in my mind, how a country decides that they're going to treat their women will tell you almost everything, if not everything, that you need to know about that society. In societies where women hold power equal or greater to equal to that of men, those societies tend to level out. They tend to have, you know, more solid birth rates, which is to say, you know, if there's not an increase, there's not a decrease. It's just nice and flat. So you've got just your standard population, maybe it grows at a much slower rate. Where women hold a lot of power, equal to or greater to the men, there tend to not be a lot of fights. There tend to not be a lot of wars. There tend to be not a lot of economic collapses because women don't beat their chest to try to show off for other women. Well, the overwhelming majority of them do not. And the way that we are treating this very public accuser, I'm playing a lot of Limbaugh's clips today, but this happened all over right-wing radio. The way we are treating this woman, who's very, 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 very likely telling the truth, says everything that we need to know about our country. You say, wait a minute, Melvin, but these are conservatives. Conservative president, conservative house, conservative senate, conservative men, conservative radio host, conservative. Hey, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. But we've got this thing in our elections. See, the overwhelming majority of young people who we know, according to any number of studies, are overwhelmingly progressive. They're open-minded. They're not homophobic. They're generally not particularly religious. The overwhelming majority of them do not turn out to vote. And they definitely did not turn out to vote in 2016. And in these off-year elections, these congressional elections that happen in every even-numbered year, these tend to only draw out people that are politicos. So whatever we saw in the presidential election, we'll likely see less of them this year. So if we have a pig in the White House, right, we have a sexual predator in the White House, an accused rapist who protects other accused rapists, who stands behind pedophiles, who stands behind rapists. We only have that because we have decided that it's not worth the trouble to turn out during our elections. You say, Melvin, but I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for these conservatives. Oh, I love women. Fine. Then what you need to do is you need to start turning out. I can bark all day long into this microphone. I can grab a bullhorn and I can go to the town square and just stand in the middle of downtown and rah, rah, rah. But it means absolutely nothing without action. And the best action comes in the form of democracy. Do you hate protesting? Yeah, I do it. I kind of love it. I also kind of hate it. Well, your protesting isn't necessarily changing anything. It puts these issues in front of people, but it doesn't really change anything. The only thing that really changes anything is actually turning out. So I listened to these pukes all week. I took Friday off to a large degree. I decided to listen to music because, man, the graphic stories about these women being assaulted by these men and then being defended by conservatives, ugh, I can't believe it. It's like there's no humanity in these people. It's just stunning.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a couple of questions to ponder just as human beings here. Take politics out of it as much as you can when dealing with my questions. It's impossible to totally do it, but I just want to ask, how many of you as human beings are capable of doing what this woman in Northern California has just done? For example, and specifically, you're minding your own business. You're living your life. You went to high school with people. You worked with people and all that. You are a renowned left-wing activist. You wear vagina hats on your head when Donald Trump is elected president. No, in fact, let's not do that. You're just an average, ordinary person. You don't do any of that, even though this woman did. My first question is, how many of you would knowingly attempt to derail the life and career of someone you peripherally knew 35 years ago? How many of you would do that?
He says to take politics out of it and then just takes his hand loaded with politics and just jams it up there. Here, lots of politics. I mean, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Sorry. What? Take all that out of it. Do you think, Mr. Limbaugh, you yourself accused by other women, do you, Mr. Limbaugh, think just for a minute, it's possible that maybe if she is a progressive, okay, maybe she's a progressive because the progressives believe her. She knows what happened to her. Brett Kavanaugh knows what happened to her. Okay, the other guy that was in the room, there was at least one other. We're hearing there might have been up to two. They know what happened, and only they know what happened. And almost the entire conservative movement is going, liar, liar. But the progressives are saying, we believe you. Tell us more. And it's not because, I'm sure it is for some people, but for me it's not. It's not because of this fight over this damn seat. I don't want Kavanaugh in that seat. That's for damn sure. But this story to me is more important than just that. Because see, for Dr. Ford, I think she wants to be called Dr. Blasey. For the doctor, for the good doctor in California, Christine Blasey Ford. This is her story, but it's a microcosm. I'm going to get ridiculous here, a teeny tiny microcosm for this one gigantic story that we're hearing about that is just reverberating right now throughout the internet and the news and the newspapers and just television and everywhere, just everywhere. For every story that we hear, I believe there are at least 10 that we don't, because women don't feel like it's okay to come forward. And what they're being told right now by the conservative movement is that it is not okay to come forward. Or if you want to come forward, there's a very tight time frame with which you must come forward in.
So many people are so fed up and disgusted because all it takes is a letter that Dianne Feinstein didn't even act on immediately. And then when she did announce it, she announced it because her colleagues were going to leak it. And the person that wrote the letter supposedly didn't want her name used, didn't want anything done with this. Well, then why send the letter in the first place?
How dare she not come out inside this very tight time frame and do it then? And of course, the rape jokes, I don't get them. The murder jokes, the rape jokes, I don't get them. They're not my thing. I don't get down like that. But oh God, there are so many conservatives making rape jokes right now. They think they're funny. It's not my thing. I don't understand.
What would happen, let's say, I don't know, in the last 10 years up to last week, if any woman had walked into any FBI office in the country and said the following: "Hi, I'm here to report that I was abused 35 years ago. I was at a party. I was 15, a little bit to drink, and a 17-year-old guy pushed me down on top of a table and laid on top of me. And then I think a friend came in and did something, and anyway, they left, and I was left locked in the room. And I want you to investigate." You think if somebody shows up to an FBI office with that story, if they show up in person with that story, that the FBI is going to give it any time whatsoever? The agents are going to look at each other with kind of wary eyes, and they're going to crack silent jokes to one another.
And they're going to tell jokes. Why? Because they, too, would be white conservative men, and this kind of thing is okay. And by the way, if a rape happens in your town, you wouldn't take it to the FBI then. The reason you would take it to the FBI now, well, is because this guy is trying to get on the Supreme Court. So he has to have a background check that is conducted by the FBI. So the way it goes now is now that he has an accuser, the president has to say, reopen his background check, investigate this, come back to us. And they say, but Melvin, he won't get on the court. And then there will be nobody when the court reconvenes here in 2 weeks. There won't be 9 justices on the court. Hold up. The conservatives did not care when it was Merrick Garland and they held that seat open for 300 days. I'm sure we can hold this one open for an extra week. But Melvin, they're about to lose their majority and then he really won't get on the court. And these investigations, this could take months, years, decades. He could be dead before it's over. Actually, the time frame that I've heard is somewhere between a few days and a few weeks. I heard a few weeks from Hillary Clinton, and I've heard a few days from just about every other senator that's talking about this. A few days. When Anita Hill made her claim, that was done in a couple of days. Yeah, this happened 3 decades ago. There's not a ton of witnesses. There's obviously not a scene of the crime. There's probably not any physical evidence. So this would be a couple days, you know, I'd say probably no more than 2 weeks, obviously max. And that gives them plenty of time to still vote for their white hooded judge. And she said she would like an FBI investigation first. Why? Because she doesn't believe that Charles Grassley and his top investigator are going to do this correctly. And she would be right. Because last night, I'm taping on Friday. Okay, just to give everyone the time frame. Friday the 21st. The top investigator that's working with Charles Grassley on this particular hearing went on Twitter very, very late night, around 11 or midnight, and then he tweeted again at 1 or 2 in the morning. So it sounds like he was having himself a couple of pops when he did it. He went on to Twitter and tweeted out that this is just a hiccup, little bump in the road, and that we're going to put Kavanaugh through no matter what. Hashtag confirm Kavanaugh. Wakes up the next morning. His head is really heavy. He sees what he tweeted because everyone is calling him and going, what the F are you doing? You're supposed to be unbiased. And then he deletes his tweets and locks down his account. So she wants the FBI to do this. And what she's saying is that she is willing to talk to the FBI and she's not afraid of perjuring herself. She's not afraid of lying. The fact that the conservatives don't want the FBI to be in any part of this and are actually lying and saying that this isn't what the FBI does. Actually, the FBI has released a statement saying that this is exactly what they do. They just need the president to direct them to reopen the case. They're already working on the death threat cases that are being made against her because those are criminal and not civil. The whole background thing is civil. So the stuff, the death threats that she's getting, they're already investigating those. They just need the president to say to reopen Kavanaugh's background check so that we can see if there's any there with respect to this. But the president says, no, this is not what they do. And what they're really saying is they don't want Kavanaugh to talk to the FBI. Because if he lies, it doesn't matter if he's a judge, he could go to prison. And the doctor, Christine Blasey Ford, is saying she's not at all worried about lying. She's absolutely willing to tell the truth. There are now ads running on television about how great Kavanaugh is. There is a Kavanaugh for Women group right now, which is a very teeny tiny group, but whatever, they're there. Its size doesn't matter, I suppose. There's a couple of wrapped buses that are driving around right now. Wrapped, like the entire like $250,000 bus is wrapped with Women for Kavanaugh or Kavanaugh for America, all kinds of stupid things. Who the hell's paying for that? That clearly costs a lot of money. This is like with the Tea Party buses, you know? Who the hell's these old Southerners, these racists, these broke ass, these people aren't buying or renting buses and then wrapping them. Someone's clearly doing that for them and spending the money. So who's doing it this time? Well, the people that want to make sure that Kavanaugh gets on the Supreme Court because they've got cases coming up where they need his fifth vote and they know how he's going to vote. And then there's people just calling up these right-wing shows because, my God, they've just got the deepest concern for Kavanaugh because Kavanaugh's a saint. Kavanaugh did everything right all the time. He's a beautiful man, beautiful soul, and you're destroying this beautiful soul.
I'm just calling about Brett Kavanaugh. I used to work for him at the White House, and something you said just about how this pains you, this is just, there's a lot of bad things that happen in politics. You know, the National Guard documents, there's a lot of things that have really upset me, but this one has just really hit hard. This is a good man. You know, he's, well, I tell people he's one of those people that you just hope you'll come across, you know, once in your life, and you hope some part of them will rub off on you. And just so much of what I know about being a professional, you know, balancing work and life, treating people of all levels with respect, you know, I learned from him, and he's just, you know, a good, decent person. And
now, if you knew him in the White House, that means that was when he was staff secretary?
Yes, sir. And it was long hours, and it was stressful, but he, you know, and there were stressful days, but he never failed to just, even when no one was watching, just do the right thing, you know, treat anyone with respect. You just always knew he would do the right thing. And I can just tell you, you're not out on a limb by defending him. You know, he is, I just appreciate you being bold. You know, I don't think we have to grant that there's any merit to this. You know, I just believe that they're bearing false witness. I think this is totally wrong. It offends my sense of justice. And this is just a good man. And I just don't think he should have to go through this.
All of these men accusing her of lying and just breathlessly defending Kavanaugh. There's even one case right now. This is insane. Somebody wrote, a conservative columnist wrote a piece for the New York Times. And in that piece, he said, could there possibly be a Kavanaugh doppelganger? You see where this is going. I don't even need to finish this story, although I will. Could there be a Kavanaugh doppelganger? And he wrote this whole thing. Maybe she's mistaken. Maybe it was somebody else that just looked like Kavanaugh, but it's not really Kavanaugh. It's yes, she suffered some trauma. It's very likely. Maybe it was someone that just looks like him. And then the right wing, the right wingers, the conspiracy theorists, they take this and they go, maybe it's, and they get out the old yearbook and they go, this guy kind of looks like Kavanaugh. Maybe it's this guy. And then they start sharing that guy's name and that guy's picture. And I'm not going to do that here across the entire internet. And they go, this is the guy that raped her. Maybe this is the guy that raped her. Christine Lazzi Ford finds out about this and she says, okay, that guy that you nutbags just picked out of the yearbook and said that maybe that's the guy. That guy was my friend. I talked to that guy all the time and even visited him in the hospital when he was sick. He never tried to rape me, and I'm not confused about this, but there's no bottom to this ocean. There's no, how low can they go? I don't know. Where is hell?
Judge Kavanaugh is one of the finest people that I've ever known. He's an outstanding intellect, an outstanding judge, respected by everybody. Never had even a little blemish on his record. The FBI has, I think, gone through a process 6 times with him over the years where he went to higher and higher positions. He is somebody very special. At the same time, we want to go through a process. We want to make sure everything is perfect, everything is just right. I wish the Democrats could have done this a lot sooner because they had this information for many months and they shouldn't have waited till literally the last days. They should have done it a lot sooner.
And you hear him right there. You hear him trying really hard to not blame her and to not name her. Well, this morning, everything changed. He went on Twitter Friday the 21st and he said, how dare she? She is wrong. Kavanaugh's fine. Why would she do this to such a good man? I'm sure you're asking yourself, Melvin, why in the F are you getting so bent about this? Anybody that knows me knows this. I'm a white male, but I am both disappointed in my gender and my race. I am absolutely upset by so many of the things that white males do. So ladies, I am here. I am with you. I am one of you. I am inside this male, this white male shell, so that I can fight for other genders and so that I can fight for other races. Because if I were not a white male, nobody would be listening to me. That's effing gross to admit, and it doesn't make me happy, but I know that it's true because I've seen it in practice. I am with you. I believe you. Why do I get so bent about this stuff? Because I'm done with the way this is going down.
Our country used to be smart. 5 decades ago, we put a man on the moon. Now, granted, we did that with the help of Wernher von Braun, who was a Nazi. But that's my point. Even the quality of our Nazis has gone down.
So the conservative movement seems to me, at least the current conservative movement, led by Donald J. Trump, is led by a couple of very simple things. That first thing is absolute upside down and inside out greed. They believe that power should be concentrated in as few hands as possible. I think that is their top belief. The wealth should all go to the top. If you end up with some wealth, fine. That's fine. They're coming for it. They will take it from you later. On the way to trying to achieve that goal, there's not a lot of people that are going to back you in that goal. So they say, how do we bring other people along to get them to vote for us? They say, well, we notice there's a fair amount of misogyny out there, and those people are conservative. So they practice misogyny, and they start telling rape jokes. There's a Southern senator running for his race, Southern House member running for a race right now, and he decided, and I'll play the audio for you next week. I don't have time to cut it today, but he said into a microphone in front of an audience that he was late to the debate because there's some news that just happened. That Ruth Bader Ginsburg accused Abraham Lincoln of fondling her. Yeah, this was his joke. And they tell lots of rape jokes over there. Rape is very funny to them. So the conservative woman says, okay, we'll bring along the misogynists, the people who like to make rape jokes. What else is there? Got to bring along the racist. Racist, yeah. Yeah, tell them the reason that the economy isn't going their way, why their wages aren't going up, and why there are not any jobs is because of the Mexicans. And the reason crime is so high is because of the N-bombs. Tell them that. All right. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. That brings an awful lot of people along, but it just doesn't seem to be enough. Man, what else could we bring along that might help us win an election or get very close to winning an election? So close, it doesn't even matter if we win or not, because we'll just go ahead and cheat and steal, win the election anyway. Who else can we bring along? Ah, the Nazis. The Nazis need a leader. Well, they have found one. They have found one in Donald J. Trump.
A self-described neo-Nazi caused some commotion at Trump's rally Wednesday night. He was holding a sign that said, "Research Holocaust Revisionism."
I want to put European Americans first. Europeans have made the world great, and I don't have any hate for any other people in my heart.
Are you a neo-Nazi?
Somewhat.
Don't you think that hurts Donald Trump if you're here?
No.
If he's your candidate?
Nope.
Why would you be here?
No, we need to
Trump
speak
rally?
The truth. We need to speak the truth.
What is that truth?
We need to put European Americans first.
So I know the audio was kind of hard to hear. He goes, hey, you're a Nazi and you're out here and you're pushing Nazi stuff and you're pushing Donald Trump. Don't you think that's going to hurt Donald Trump? And he says, no, of course it's not, because he knows that there's a lot of racial animosity, a lot of white grievance on that side. So a couple of weeks ago, we were treated to audio and video of an adult giving a speech. Squee. He was crazy. So now that we've got congressional elections coming up in less than 2 months, Obama is back on the scene. And he gives these just barn burner speeches. You know, he's always been good at them, but it's not just a good oratory. It's just not a lot of words. The things he's saying are right. And I'll play some of the stuff here and in other shows. But the thing you're going to hear about in this show is something that he said in particular about Nazis. Because, man, there's a ton of effing Nazis out there. But I kind of feel alone in the boat Which boat is that? We're the boat where we complain about all of these effing Nazis. So I was pretty happy to hear. I was pretty happy to hear ex-President Obama talk about, excuse me, this shouldn't be a hard thing. We should be able to say Nazis are bad.
It shouldn't be Democratic or Republican to say we don't target certain groups of people based on what they look like or how they pray. We are Americans. We're supposed to stand up to bullies. Not follow them. We're supposed to stand up to discrimination. And we're sure as heck supposed to stand up clearly and unequivocally to Nazi sympathizers. How hard can that be, saying that Nazis are bad?
Right now, Ron DeSantis, the Republican in Florida, is running against Andrew Gillum. Andrew Gillum won in Florida, and it was a complete surprise. He wasn't showing up in the polls or anything, and he won the Democratic primary. So now you've got Ron DeSantis, a neo-Nazi, you'll hear why in a minute, running against Andrew Gillum. And the night that he found out that Andrew Gillum won, he decided that that was the night he was going to begin the racist part of his campaign. Now, you've probably heard this clip, and if you haven't, you really need to. There's a little bit of a lead-in, but the racist part is right at the end.
Well, look, I mean, this is Florida elections are always competitive. And, this is a guy who, although he's much too liberal for Florida, I think he's got huge problems with how he's governed Tallahassee. He is an articulate spokesman for those far left views, and he's a charismatic candidate. And, I watched those Democrat debates. None of that was my cup of tea. But, I mean, he performed better than the other people there. So we've got to work hard to make sure that we continue Florida going in a good direction. Let's build off the success we've had on Governor Scott. The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state. That is not going to work. That's not going to be good for Florida. So I'm going to fight for what I believe in, because I think I'm the guy who can really lead Florida in a good direction.
Monkey it up. And right away it's pointing out, excuse me, did you just say monkey it up? You could have said mess it up. Of course, his campaign goes, everybody's familiar with that phrase, monkey it up, and we're not pulling it back. Because the reason they're not going to pull it back is because it's a dog whistle. Now, he said this on Fox News. And Fox News, this is so crazy, because Fox is super racist too. But this was a level of racism that even Fox, so he says this thing, they go to commercial break, they come back from commercial break, and Fox News found what he said to be so racist that they did an on-air rebuke of it, which they never do.
A little while ago, we had Ron DeSantis, the Republican nominee for governor in Florida, on for an interview to discuss the Florida election. During the interview, he made what some are calling an inappropriate comment about his Democratic opponent, Andrew Gillum. We do not condone this language and wanted to make our viewers aware that he has since clarified his statement.
I'm sure the hate mail rolled in after that. How dare you? He's right. The Gillum guy's a dang gum monkey. Melvin, you're not making your case strong enough. I just don't believe you. Everybody uses the phrase monkey it up. Okay, I heard my grandma use that phrase, but my grandma's a racist too. He said, okay. We still don't, come on. Melvin, it's kind of flimsy. We don't think he's racist. It's just not enough. Okay, all right. So there's an ad running in Florida right now, being run by Mr. DeSantis. It's about the grossest thing I've ever heard in my life. This is another thing where you better get the kids out of the room, because this is nasty. Oh, it's dang gum nasty. Because I'm going to play this ad for you that's running right now in Florida by the one and only Ron DeSantis.
Ron loves playing with the kids.
Build the wall.
He reads stories.
Then Mr. Trump said, "You're fired." I love that part.
He's teaching Madison to talk.
Make America great again.
It's so easy in the face of all of this, in the face of the way that our women are being treated, in the face of the way that immigrants are being treated, Mexicans, and of course, the way African Americans are being treated. It's so easy for us to get so bent out of shape. And I do. I definitely get bent out of shape when I hear this stuff, and I just want to fly off the handle. But I step into my studio once a week. I open this microphone. I make my case to you. I hope my voice resonates and spreads. And then you go out. You become an activist. You at the very least vote. You talk with your friends about these issues. You put Melvin on around your friends and family and go, listen to this guy. Or whatever it takes. I don't even care. I don't want the recognition. I just want a better country. I want a better land. I want more humanity in my country. I want love. I want respect. I want these very, very simple things. But the things that I'm hearing from progressives now who are sick of losing, progressives, you know, like myself, are just who go, hey, we're already turning out to vote. Yeah. But there's lots of people who are not turning out to vote. But there are plenty of progressives now suggesting, you know what, maybe we just need to play dirty too. Maybe we just need to knock their D's in the dirt too. Maybe we need to fight and claw just like they are in order to make our point. On the way to becoming a more humanitarian country, we want to be careful so that we do not lose our humanity.
I'll be honest. Sometimes I get into arguments with progressive friends about what the current political movement requires. There are well-meaning folks, passionate about social justice, who think things have gotten so bad, the lines have been so starkly drawn, that we have to fight fire with fire. We have to do the same things to the Republicans that they do to us. Adopt their tactics. Say whatever works. Make up stuff about the other side. I don't agree with that.
Education is better than any weapon. Education is better than fists. Education is better than screaming, even screaming into this microphone. Education is simply better than all of it. I think the cream rises to the top, as the old saying goes. Our better angels and all the rest. Just act that way. Act, inspire, mobilize, and change. Change will happen if you do that. We can't run dishonest ads. We can't march in the streets and punch Nazis. Nobody should be punching Nazis. And you know how much I do not like Nazis. But don't go punching them, because you become them when you punch them. You're no better than them. And at that point, you will hate what you have become to escape what you hated being. Still lots of self-hate, and you didn't change anything. We've got 2 months, ladies and gentlemen, 2 months, and we can change the country. It's not over yet. Yeah, the Democrats aren't exactly running away with the poll numbers right now, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I know we can do this.
It should not be Democratic or Republican. It should not be a partisan issue to say that we do not pressure the Attorney General or the FBI to use the criminal justice system as a cudgel to punish our political opponents. It shouldn't be Democratic or Republican to say that we don't threaten the freedom of the press because they say things or publish stories we don't like. We are Americans. We're supposed to stand up to bullies. Not follow them. And we're sure as heck supposed to stand up clearly and unequivocally to Nazi sympathizers. In 2 months, we have the chance, not the certainty, but the chance, to restore some semblance of sanity to our politics.
And there's the key. Not the certainty, the chance. But it's going to require you. There's a lot of talk about blue waves right now. It's very fun. It feels very good. It's very sexy. But if you wake up that Wednesday morning and one or both houses are still controlled by the conservatives, and you try to point to other people, ask yourself, did you vote? Did you do everything you could? Did you talk to the people you know? Democracy is messy, and it's time-consuming. and it takes a lot of work, and that part of it sucks. But if you're not willing to fight for it, you will lose it. I'm not afraid of a lot of things. I don't carry a gun. I don't freak out when things happen around me. I don't flinch all the time. I'm not in a constant state of panic or fear. I'm fairly even-handed. But this particular thing, yeah, it scares me a little bit. If I'm scared by anything, I'm scared by this. This idea that we just devolve into fascism, and racism and dictatorships and all the gross things that we've learned about in history. Yeah, this kind of thing is frightening to me. But even when things get bad and we lose elections and there's Nazis marching in the effing street, I don't lose hope. It's not over yet. Even if we don't win in November, it's not over yet. We just fight harder and stronger. It's not over yet. It's not over until we're dead. I'm sorry everything is so stupid right now. And it is. I'll say it. It's stupid, but I suppose it's importantly stupid.
Admitting that he fired former FBI Director James Comey because of, quote, this Russia thing. Now the president is claiming out of the blue on Twitter this morning that the tape was, quote, fudged. He's been tweeting all morning, by the way, too hard to keep up with them, and most of them are too stupid to keep up with, including this one, but this one's important. Importantly stupid.
I know that's a weird-ass clip to end on, but I just want to remind you one more time before I get the F out of here, that's our life right now. I'm sick of hearing that. That's our life right now. This isn't normal. But it's also not over. Yo, you know what to do. You've got your marching orders. I'll catch you next week. Thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is tfycpo.podbean.com. Like us at facebook.com/tfycpo. You can listen on the go. Just download the Podbean app at the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store for Android users so you never miss your Melvin. Individual episodes are available both at the iTunes Store and on Podbean. Questions, comments, hate mail, just a general statement or inquiry. You can email us. TFYCPO@gmail.com, because man, we love getting your mail, whether it's love letters or hate letters. Oh, Melvin will take them all. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base, so feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail, rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, my brother and my friend who just had a birthday. I'm not going to tell y'all how old he is. And I want to thank everyone out there for listening. This is Melvin signing off. Now that I've woken you up, good morning.